The great mystic said, "Dear Lord, persons who see you as non-different from themselves, knowing that you are the super soul of all living entities, are certainly very, very dear to you. You are very favorable toward those who engage in devotional service, accepting you as the Lord and themselves as the servants. By your mercy, you are always inclined in their favor." Purport. It is indicated in this verse that the monists and the great mystics know the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one. This oneness is not the misunderstanding that a living entity is equal in every respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This monism is based on pure knowledge as described and confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.17. Priyogi Jnanino Tyartam Aham Sachama Priyaha. The Lord says that those who are advanced in transcendental knowledge and know the science of Krishna consciousness are very dear to Him, and He also is very dear to them. Those who are actually in perfect knowledge of the science of God know that the living entities are superior energy of the Supreme Lord. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter. The material energy is inferior and the living entities are superior energy. The energy and the energetic are non-different. Therefore, the energy possesses the same quality as the energetic. Persons who are in full knowledge of the Personality of Godhead, analyzing His different energies and knowing their own constitutional position, are certainly very, very dear to the Lord. Persons, however, who may not even be conversant with the knowledge of the Supreme Personality, but who always think of the Lord with love and faith, feeling that He is great and that they are His parts and parcels, ever His servitors, and are even more favored by Him. The particular significance of this verse is that the Lord is addressed as Vatsala. Vatsala means always favorably disposed. The Lord's name is Bhakta Vatsala. The Lord is famous as Bhakta Vatsala, which means that He is always favorably inclined to the devotees, whereas He is never addressed anywhere in the Vedic literature as Jnani Vatsala.
I guess so. If you're going to have a Tamil translation, you might as well do the whole thing. Those who have knowledge of oneness in relation to the Supreme Lord are mentioned first in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. In general, the yogis, they have a misconception of the oneness of the... Those who are following the Dhyana Yoga system, they generally have a misconception of the oneness of the Supreme Lord and the living beings. Well, I'm always saying that if you put a wet garland, it'll stain the cloth, and anyone who doesn't believe it can have the evidence now. Here is not mentioned here that the yogis are speaking, but the yogeshwaras. In this context, it means the best of the yogis. The best of the yogis are those who have a proper concept of the oneness of the Supreme Lord and the living beings. The best of the yogis do not have the misunderstanding that a living entity is equal in every respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they understand the oneness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That nothing is categorically different from Him. Do you know what that means, categorically? It means in all respects. There is nothing which doesn't have a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Because all that exists is Shakti and Shaktimata, the energy and the possessor of the energy. Modern science has concluded that everything is energy, but they don't know that there is a source of the energy, possessor of the energy. Shakti Shaktimator Abhedaha. The Vedanta Sutra states that the energy and the energetic are not different. This is the statement of Vedanta Sutra and is accepted by all followers of Vedanta as being categoric truth, because the Vedanta Sutra states so. However, the fact that there are two different words, shakti, shakti mata, implies that there is a difference. Otherwise, why two words? You can't say there's no difference between an apple. It's an incomplete statement. You have to complete the statements, you have to say there's no difference between an apple and something else. But even then, if you bring something else, there's always a difference. There's always some difference between an apple and another apple. As soon as there are two distinct definable objects, there's difference. Even if theoretically one apple exactly resembles another, still there's a spatial difference. In other words, one is here and another one is here. They're in different place. So when it's said there's no difference, just like you may be choosing apples at the fruit stall in the bazaar, and they're selling them, each apple, 20 rupees. So you choose an apple, then you look at the apples again and you put it back and take another one. And you think, well, I'll take this one instead. There's a difference because you think that the other, first of all you thought one apple was better, then you change your mind and thought the other apple was better. But from the vendor's point of view, they're all the same, 20 rupees. Take whichever one you want, 20 rupees. One apple may be a little bigger than the other, but one may be smaller, but from the vendor's point of view, they're all the same, 20 rupees. So when we say shakti, shakti mator, abheda, we don't say, Vyasadeva has compiled this, there's apparently an inherent contradiction in this statement. Therefore the shastra needs to be explained. It's not, you might say that the shakti and shakti mata, they are synonyms. They're simply different words for the same thing. Just like in English, you can say pusillanimous and cowardly, it means the same thing. You'll have to find another example in Tamil. There's so many synonyms. Big and large, they more or less mean the same thing. The shakti, shakti mata, abheda, that's not. You see, each striking is the same, isn't it? It just sounded the same, right? But still there's a difference, because one is sounded at a different time to the other, 2 seconds ahead of the other. And if you examine the decibels, there'll be some slight difference in the decibels generated. And at the atomic level, there'll be different atoms which are moving around. So shakti, shakti, mator, abheda, the energy and the possessor of the energy, they are not different. This requires further explanation. The perfect explanation is that the shastra statement is true, they are not different, but still we have to see from another perspective that they are different. So this sounds like a very philosophical discussion. Yeah, it is. It's the stuff of Vedanta discussion. It's what Vedanta discussion is prized on. However, Srila Prabhupada states here that even persons who are not, even persons who are not much conversant with all these intricacies of Vedanta discussion, if they have another kind of knowledge, they simply know even without much philosophical wrangling that Krishna is supreme and I am Krishna's, then they are more dear to Krishna than those who understand philosophically all these points. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vajokasam, yam mitram paramanandam, purna brahma sanatanam. Sukadev Goswami says, how fortunate are Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan. Their intimate friend is the supremely blissful, supreme, absolute, eternal truth. Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna her breast milk. She doesn't think, here is the supreme, absolute truth, playing as a child, so I have to play as his mother. She doesn't make any philosophical construct before she feeds him her breast milk. If anyone was to try to instruct Mother Yashoda about the Supreme Absolute Truth, she'd probably fall asleep. You may not have the faintest idea of what you're talking about. Then when Krishna cries, she'll run and feed him her breast milk. Of course, Mother Yashoda also comes as Shati Mata, and she discusses Mayavad philosophy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Shati Mata.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eating dirt, then Shati Mata says, "What are you doing? Nonsense." And I'm feeding you sandesh and so many nice foods. Why are you eating dirt? And baby Nimai says that, well, the sandesh is only earth, it's just a transformation. If I eat dirt or if I eat sandesh, what's the difference? And Shati Mata instructs him, well, that's true from one perspective, but if you eat sandesh, you become healthy. And if you eat dirt, you don't become, you become sick. So better to eat earth in the form of sandesh. So Shati Mata, she's not so much concerned about the intricacies of philosophy as to stop her child eating dirt. The devotees, they simply love Krishna. They may or may not be very deeply versed in philosophical conclusion. The problem is that those who are... A problem with may arise, though, that those who are not on the level of the Vrajavasis, the pure devotees of Krishna, they may think that I love Krishna, but they mistake their mundane sentiments for pure spiritual emotion. You have mundane sentiments towards Krishna, who's completely beyond anything mundane. Well, the answer is right in this series of prayers which are being recounted here in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the section that we're reading right now, that various persons are offering prayers to Krishna, pious people, but they don't all have a clear understanding of the relation between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And even all these particular prayers that they're offering are certainly authoritative instructions about the nature of the Supreme Lord. But still, they are such persons, they're not qualified to the level of the Vrajavasis. We find in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna, prayers for forgiveness. And there's much important instruction about the nature of the Supreme Lord in those prayers. But Krishna himself, it's described as feeling somewhat confused upon hearing these prayers. He was thinking, what's he talking about? I just want to go and play with my friends, that's all. There's this funny guy with forehead saying all these things to me. He looks pretty distressed, so you know, I better not just run off and neglect him. But I really wish he'd just finish all this talk and I would go off and run and play with my friends again. Well, Madhvacharya doesn't comment on this section of Bhagavatam. He is, his sampradaya, they're known as Tattvavadis. They very strongly differentiate between the Vishnu Tattva and every other kind of tattva. So of course, the term Tattvavadi could be applied to any philosopher. The Gaudiya Sampradaya is certainly Tattvavadis, but they understand one tattva, which is practically none others, they consciously enter into that, and that is Rasa Tattva. Gaudiya's understanding is based on Shruti, the Vedas. Raso by Saha, the Supreme is Rasa. Rasamva evayam labdvananda bhavati. The Supreme Lord, or the Supreme, expands himself for the sake of tasting rasa. So Krishna is very much disposed to his devotees. He himself is more in his most intimate aspect as Krishna. He's more interested in devotion than simply in philosophical exposition of himself. I guess it's something like the difference between, one as scientists may say, well, make a diagram of the tongue, of the different taste buds, and the, how the taste buds function, and someone else just goes and licks some ice cream, and that one is theoretical and one is practical. So only philosophizing, that's theoretical. And practical is patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti pahitam ashnami prayatavanaha. Offering items for the pleasure of the senses of the Supreme Lord. And when his senses are satisfied, then the devotee's senses also become satisfied in transcendental manner. But again, without that philosophical underpinning, then without a proper philosophical understanding, if one tries to enter into the world of exchange with Krishna, he'll be unqualified. As long as we don't have clear spiritual understanding, we'll tend to view everything in terms of our mundane misunderstanding. Mundane misunderstanding is to consider everything an object of our sense enjoyment. So we also think of God as an object of our spirit, of our enjoyment, or someone who can help me in my enjoyment. Practically everything that goes on in the name of religion or belief in God, it's not really, it hasn't really approached bhakti at all. Everyone is approaching God. What can you do for me? Here in South India, the Srinivas deity in Tirumala is highly respected, not only by Vaishnavas, I think the smart, I think the ayahs, everyone, they all go, isn't it? So, and you'll find people, they're lining up, they're calling out, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. Thinking, oh, Govinda, he's the pleaser of the senses. He's going to please my senses. And no doubt they get their senses pleased. Otherwise, why is there always such a big rush, 24 hours a day? If we ask people, please come here and take darshan of Gaur Nithai, they may think it's more important to go to Tirumalai, because what is Gaur Nithai going to do? This Srinivas, he's tried and proven. We know he will satisfy our senses. This Gaur Nithai doesn't look like it. A couple of sannyasis. It's a Bengali god. Look at Bengal, they're not doing so good, so what's the use of worshipping a Bengali god? What's the use of any of these gods? Better worship Jesus, you see, the Western people, they're doing better. So better worship Jesus. It's a pragmatic approach to religion. Well, it's not really religion at all. Whatever goes on in the name of religion, it's basically for sense gratification. And it's not just that by walking through the gate of ISKCON and saying, I am an ISKCON devotee, that one is pure devotee free from all misconceptions, just in case any of you had that misconception. One has to very clearly understand the knowledge which is being given by Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, the tendency is to take the knowledge and remix it in the mixy of our fertile brains, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. Today we have a new variety of khichdi. It's speculation style. Not only today, every day. Think, do something new, do something different. But philosophy, tattva-gyan, should be understood very clearly and carefully. That can only be understood by one who is sincere in bhakti. The yogeshwaras, they have some understanding, but their understanding is not as advanced or complete as those who simply accept Krishna is supreme, I am his servant. The understanding that Krishna is supreme, I am his servant, it sounds very simple. But to understand this simple fact, we have to divest ourselves of so many misunderstandings. And even while saying Krishna is supreme, I am his servant, we may be already mixing up some new concoction. A common reinterpretation of this simple statement is that Krishna is supreme, I am his servant, and eventually I will become supreme. By doing that service, by bhakti, we will become powerful. So the level of the Vrajavasis in which they simply love Krishna, that is certainly the highest level, in which they apparently they don't have any philosophical understanding of Krishna or any disposition to understand him philosophically. This word Yogeshwara that's spoken by the gopis to Krishna when Krishna tried to instruct them in yoga. Yogeshwaraya hridi vichinta agadha bhodam. Said that Krishna, the yogis, with their very deep intelligence, they meditate upon you. Sansara kupa patito avanavalambhyam. Keham jusham api udhiyat sadanaha. They said, but you know, we don't understand all these things. We're just fallen in the well of material, of family life. So, anyway, we are praying that you manifest your, the yogis are meditating on you in their heart, and we are praying that despite our fallen condition, the gopis are saying, that you kindly arise within our hearts. But actually for the residents of Vrindavan to engage in dhyana yoga, that would be a step down for them. Just like the Mayavadis think that the most important chapter of Bhagavad Gita is chapter 11, the showing of the Vishwarupa, the universal form, because the greatness of the Supreme is demonstrated. But actually from the perspective of bhakti, which is the ultimate perspective of the Supreme, of understanding the Supreme, that Arjuna's mood at that time, it was a step down for him. He was praying to Krishna, "Oh, I offended you. We used to lie on the same bed, and I addressed you, Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi. I just used to call you Yadav. You're just a Yadav. You're not, we're Pandavas. We're higher class than you. And you're, oh, my friend, I used to joke with you like this." And Krishna, Arjuna was praying for forgiveness from Krishna, but when he was addressing Krishna like that, without any hesitation, without any inhibition, he was actually on a better platform than when he was apologizing for doing so. So that to come to the level of simply loving Krishna, that is the pinnacle of bhakti and the pinnacle of understanding all philosophy. But lest one be misguided by one's perverted tendency to misconceive everything for one's sense gratification, it is necessary to be guided by a proper philosophical understanding. Hare Krishna.